You know, boys, Marty is the smartest and bravest kitty in the world. He's going to get a tattoo of a dragon on his face. You'll see him if I ever get the cage open.
Good coffee.
Yeah, it's French vanilla.
Hang on, Marty. I'll get you out of there. Damn Rubik's lock. Marty! Marty! Marty?
Think your cat's dead, bub.
New York is not closed. It is still open and alive.
What is up, Red Bull fans? We are recording live from Minnesota, our first live show in EDS history, and we have a special guest on the line, Mr. JJ Post, the College Soccer Hungriest Outsider. JJ, how are you doing?
I'm doing pretty good today. I'm out on spring break, and I decided to spend my spring break traveling up to Minnesota for the first ever EDSS live show. We are enjoying the probably about 10-degree weather outside, and looking forward to a good game against a club that is playing a road game against Red Bull. So we're doing a live show from the state that the away team is playing in.
JJ, have you ever suffered from frostbite?
I have not. I might have. When I was like 12, I went to a Giants game and it was like really cold. And I remember after the game, like I had to like put like a warm pack on my toe for like a couple hours. But I don't know if that was frostbite or me just being a weak 12-year-old. I'm not sure. It could have been either one.
Okay. So JJ, you know where it's also cold?
Where?
Toronto.
It's true.
But when the Red Bulls are in town, they bring the heat. The New York Red Bulls won 4-1 against Toronto FC last Saturday. JJ, what are some big picture thoughts about the result?
Well, I mean, I think the first thing you have to say is, you know, you have to talk about the Lewis Morgan hat trick. Because, you know, I don't think anyone expects him to keep up a hat trick per game, though he would be the greatest player in league history if he did. I think that kind of was proof of concept for the Red Bull plan that Lewis Morgan is a guy that can be that scorer, that you know, we lost Fabio. You know, we knew that we were going to need someone other than Kalamala to pick up a load on the scoring end. And that was kind of the proof that, you know, Lewis Morgan, a guy that I believe had never scored more than 2 goals in a league season, had that in him. He has that, you know, 10-goal, 15-goal potential in him. And I think if you're a Red Bull, it's a really exciting sign to see that, you know, a guy that you kind of, you know, you took a chance on. There was no proof that Lewis Morgan would come in and be a 15-goal season striker, or a winger in this case. If think the fact that he put up a hat trick and, you know, the goals were not tap-ins either. These were nice goals. I think the fact that he did that against, you know, obviously a not good Toronto defense, you know, I think the fact that he did that is a really good sign for this Red Bulls team that, you know the defense is going to be good. The defense has all the pieces. They have Carlos Cornell. That's a set standard. I think the question mark heading this season for the Red Bulls was the offense going to find, you know, that firepower? Was anyone going to back up Kamala and give the team the requisite goals to win? If Morgan is that 15-goal season player, I think the ceiling for this Red Bull team just got a lot higher.
Yeah. So, you know, we could talk a little bit about the finishes. They were all just pretty masterclass. My favorite has to be the second one. That was just an insane finish from right out of the top of the box. Just, like, slipped the right past the keeper. What was your favorite finish?
I think the third one was perhaps my favorite, just because it wasn't the hardest finish in the world, but I think there's a certain difficulty to when you're on a hat trick. You know, you're coming in, it's a third goal, you should have right on the platter. I think there's a certain mental aspect to, you know, not overdoing it, not trying to do anything special, not getting overconfident, not getting caught up in the moment. I think it's easier than people give it credit to sky that over the bar, to miss wide. He kept his calm, he kept his focus, put it away in the side corner, kept it right around the goalie. I think there's a certain elegance to that, you know, I think it'd be easy for him to kind of, you know, be like, I'm going to score a hat trick, and then put it wide. I think the fact that he kept his focus, kept his composure, just slotted it home, that was a really nice touch on what was an excellent day in first half.
Yeah. JJ, I have a question.
All right.
Why didn't they give him the fourth goal?
That I could not tell you. I think that they wanted to give everyone else a turn. Maybe they wanted to give Aaron Long a chance to do a celebration, because I think we all miss that celebration. It's quite nice to have a player, you know, a signature celebration. Maybe they wanted to bring that back after a year. And Lewis had his turn. So, you know, I think they want to save him for, you know, future games. Maybe save some of those goals for, you know, a team like Minnesota where you're going to need, you know, more than one to beat them, you know, because everyone knows Toronto. You know, you don't want to waste your goals against Toronto this year. Toronto's not a team that's going to be a serious competitor for the playoffs, and barring a massive change. So I think maybe they want to save his goal production for, you know, a more serious opponent.
I think they're just pushing the Vela golden boot, and, you know, they couldn't give it to Lewis Morgan.
Big MLS is scared of the Scottish King. I think that's a narrative that needs to be started.
So let's talk about the formation Red Bull set up in. So it's the same lineup from last week, but I definitely had a different feel to it for sure. They were definitely more, I won't say aggressive in pushing numbers forward, but it definitely had that feel for sure. They were really going down TFC's throat from the beginning of the game. I mean, there was a stretch in the beginning where TFC was just going down that whether left or right side. They didn't even go down the other side of the field. And Red Bull definitely took advantage of that in the end of the game. But what did you make about the formation that Red Bull played in this game?
I thought starting Barlow was, you know, a bold choice that paid off big time for Struber. You know, I think, on face value, people like kind of see like, oh, Barlow, not this again. Because, to be fair, you know, it's been 3 years now and he's never really shown the signs of being, you know, anything more than just a guy who can press. But this is the kind of game where just the guy who can press is an absolute weapon, because Barlow didn't get on the score sheet. He didn't have a goal. He didn't have an assist. What he did have was an incredible presence. He was stretching that Toronto defense all over, with to the left, to the right, vertically. He can run so hard, and he can make the smart runs that will draw defenders to where they won't be, to where they will be in a position to not stop Lewis Morgan when Lewis Morgan gets on the ball. I think his presence, those runs, that intellect to both make those runs, as well as, you know, just the raw speed he possesses. You know, I think that was a really big choice by Struber, because, you know, obviously it takes a lot to go in with, you know, Tom Barlow, a guy who scored one goal and I think, you know, or two goals in 2 years now. It says a lot to start that guy. But I think what he did off the ball and what he did, you know, when he was not scoring was crucial in terms of how the Red Bulls set up. And I think, you know, the midfield also, you know, I think there were some questions coming into the year. Could Drew Yearwood and Frankie Amaya, you know, kind of be, you know, a pairing in the midfield that works? Because we really haven't seen, you know, for better or for worse, how this midfield work without Sean Davis for, you know, a decade now. I think there were some questions coming into the year. Could Drew be that kind of six that Davis was? Could Amaya step up and be a creative eight? And I think both those questions, at least once again, with the caveat that Toronto is not, you know, the best team in the world by any means, I think with the caveat that Toronto wasn't that good on the day, those two were excellent. And I think that's another thing, you know, if those two can keep up those performances, those two can keep being high-level players in the roles that Struber wants them to play, I think this team's ceiling got a lot higher, because I think that was kind of one of the things that the Red Bulls need to figure out. Could someone fill Sean Davis's boots? Could Amaya take the step forward? If both those are true, this Rebel team isn't just as good as last year. It's going to be better.
So like you were saying, and that was the next topic, the midfield revelation, Drew and Frankie. So like you said, Sean Davis left after 50 years of the club. Boo-hoo. So we replaced him with some really young kids. Frankie is a very interesting prospect. Of course, we get him from the trade with FC Cincinnati last year. Union weren't too happy about that. But he's a guy that definitely had an interesting first season. You know, he's playing a little bit at the beginning. And he kind of falls out of Struber's favor. And you see a guy like Wiki Carmona get a lot of minutes with the team. But Frankie's been a revelation this season. It definitely feels like he's a lot more sharper, more in shape this season. And Drew just continues his progression from last year, where he wasn't really starting in the beginning of the year, but he just becomes a Struber favorite by the end of the year in 21, now 22, just a full-fledged like ball carrier, which is amazing. But what do you make about those two?
I think the main thing with those two is consistency. Because I think with both of them, last year, there were always flashes that you could see. There's the talent. There's the making of a top-level midfielder in there. You know, Drew would have those really good stretches where he'd win the ball, take off on these like mazy dribbling runs, and get the ball into the opposing third. And then he'd lose it, and then he'd, you know, maybe miss a challenge, you know, a couple sequences later. And Frankie would have that same deal, just, you know, on a bit different position. You know, he'd have those, you know, really clever passes. He'd have those really good runs. But then he'd have a, you know, stretch of the game where he just became uninvolved. So I think the kind of the key for Struber heading into this year was, you know, figure out how to maximize those stretches. Figure out how to make them more consistent. Because we know the talent is there. There's a reason that, you know, Drew Yearwood was a player that was valued in England and, you know, brought in by Brentford, you know, a money-first club. You know, there's a reason that Frankie Amaya was, you know, one of the most hyped up draft picks in MLS history. Not that that means that much, but, you know, still, in this day and age, it takes quite a bit for a draft pick to be considered, you know, a genuine starter on a team. And Amaya was that. Whether he ended up being the savior of FC Cincinnati, that's not the question. You know, there was a reason, you know, all the scouts were like, this guy is a slam dunk first overall pick. This guy is going to improve an MLS club. So I think, you know, Amaya's kind of shaking off the woes of having to play in Cincinnati for 2 years. I think he's kind of coming into himself now that he has a new system, you know, a new environment. I think that's part of the, you know, factor for him. I think now that he's settled down in New York and New Jersey, whichever side of the river he's living on, I think that, you know, that's kind of playing into him. I think he's found his feet. And I think, you know, if he's going to play like this for the rest of the year, that's a huge testament to Struber's ability, because, you know, Amaya for a long time has been a guy that, you know, you could see that he had potential in him. You could see he had skill in him, but no one was really sure whether it was at a 10, an 8, or a 6. No one was really sure, could he do it over a full 90 minutes? And I think that if they figure out where they want him, if they like him in that 8 next to Yearwood, I think that's going to be a big factor in, you know, just showing how good this Rebels team can be. At, you know, once again, kind of like that classic, you know, I think about, you know, the Rebels have kind of moved away from this, but I think, you know, go back a half decade ago, the Rebels kind of staked their claim with the guys like Aaron Long, guys that, like, you know, other teams didn't have a use for, but the Rebels, who come to the Rebels, will make you good. I think Amaya is an example that the Rebels are getting back into that groove. They're, you know, going back to finding players that other teams think they're done with and making them what those other teams thought they would be when they first signed them. And Yearwood, I think, you know, Yearwood always needed just that time, because I think from the start you could see that Yearwood had talent in him. You could see that, you know, even if the six wasn't his perhaps natural position, there were, you know, times where it was pretty obvious that, you know, whether it was going to be as a six or as an eight, he was going to find a place in this team. And I think that going forward, I think he's been put a big responsibility put on him with the absence of Davis. And I think, you know, that responsibility might have just been what he needed to step into those boots, to take a bigger role on, to play better. You know, just that heightened expectation was exactly what he needed to take his game to the next level.
Absolutely. So let's go talk about, you know, bigger picture stuff now that the game is over. Red Bull New York, I think this is tweeted from the account, they broke some records. So it's like the most goals. I mean, the first time in the season they started with two away goal wins. I'm not sure they said the most goals they scored between two games, but I'm pretty sure they're getting close to there. Lewis Morgan was named MLS Player of the Week for the first time since 2018. JJ, who was the last Red Bull player named MLS Player of the Week?
I feel like, I don't know. The thing is, I'm trying to think like the best way to go at this. Like, I'm trying to think, like, if there was, like, a, you know, some sort of performance I'm missing in the last 2 years, or do I just say Bradley Wright Phillips and, you know, hedge my bets? I'm going to say BWP, because, like, at this point, you know, I feel like it's his he retired this week, so I feel like I should give a memorial shout out to Bradley Wright Phillips and, you know, say that, I don't know, maybe it was a hat trick against DC United that one time.
The correct answer was actually Andreas Ivan.
I'm from Stuttgart. I live my whole life there. My family, my friends, all are there. It's a beautiful city in Germany, in the south side, in Baden-Württemberg, and yeah.
But seriously, BWP in 2018. BWP retired from professional soccer with 117 MLS goals, the only goals that matter in his career. Two-time Golden Boot winner in MLS, two-times MLS Best 11, two-time MLS All-Star, MLS Comeback Player of the Year, and sixth all-time MLS goals list. JJ, what else can you say about BWP and his legend in the Red Bull world? But it's still up for grabs. Oh, the header has gone in! It's him again! Would you believe it? Bradley Wright Phillips!
Yeah, great. First of all, great home performance. It's what we needed. It's what the season's been crying out for. You know, Jesse said start our season today because it hasn't been good enough, and we did, I think, from Luis up to the front.
Plays it across the finish. It's exquisite. Wright Phillips again. Bradley Wright Phillips buries it.
Wright Phillips lets it bounce, takes a shot, and it's in. that you always represent our fans and our club in a first-class manner with pure professionalism, dignity, poise, and humility. For that, we thank you. That the number 99 will never be worn again by another New York Red Bulls player.
You guys have seen me miss some horrific chances in some big games, and you still supported me when I've scored goals and missed easy chances. And for a striker, you can't ask for more, so thank you. And just keep the support for me and the boys. We're trying to bring you a cup this season.
BWP will forever be known to me as a guy who had the, you know, I will remember him for that DC United game where it rained for like 2 hours beforehand and it kicked off like an hour, 90 minutes late, and he kept that, he was wearing two jerseys the whole time just because he knew he was going to score that 100th goal in that game. And I think the testament to who he was as a goal scorer was a guy that was willing to stand in the 90 degree heat in the 2 hours of rain wearing two shirts just because he was that confident that he would be able to take off the other one and show that he had 100 goals. Just to be that confident in a celebration and to, you know, deal with that kind of heat, I think is, you know, the ultimate testament to BWP's legacy as, you know, just a guy that was going to score and he knew he was going to score.
This is a guy, definitely, you have to say, you know, just in terms of production, wasn't he the fastest 100 goals in MLS history?
I believe so, yes.
So you just have to wonder what kind of career he would have had if he even came in even younger. And I believe he's the only player that was a part, I know he barely played in 2013, but a part of like every like major trophy, every supporter shield in the Red Bull history, you know, part of like so many different eras from 13 to 19, Marsh, Petke, goodness. And it's just a testament to his longevity, you know, scoring 17 or more goals pretty much every year except for his last year and his first year. He's just a prolific scorer, and cheers to him to retiring.
Hi, this is Fancy Ray for Solo Grocery. Solo has the best meat department in Minnesota. Fresh chicken wings, catfish nuggets, neck bone, smoked turkey tails, ribs, chops, everything.
There's butchers on site cutting meat and making fresh ground beef. Plus, Chicago hot dogs, links, and Polish sausages. They even bag you up and carry you out. And the prices are... Woo! Located at Emerson and Lowry.
Now joining us from the St. Paul Pioneer Press, we have Mr. Andy Greeter to give us some perspective from Minnesota United. Andy, how are you doing?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm doing great. So, Andy, Minnesota United are coming off second consecutive season with a playoff appearance. And they return Adrian Heath, the only manager in the MLS history. So, where are Minnesota United big picture in 2022?
Yeah, it's their third straight playoff appearance as a club. I think they're one of seven teams to be able to do that over the last 3 years. And, you know, it's a club that has kind of set a standard as one that's kind of in the upper tier of MLS, but they haven't reached the mountaintop yet. You know, they reached the Western Conference Final in 2020 and lost a heartbreaker at Seattle that year. But in their two playoff appearances bookending that, they've lost in the first round both times and went out pretty quietly at Portland last year. So it's a club that has a lot of the same players back from last year's team, but it has made quite a few additions kind of in the striker core and has aspirations to get a home playoff game and go from there. And like you said, they have two results here this year, both of them draws, both of them against quality teams in Nashville and Philadelphia. So I think they're content. I wouldn't say they're exactly satisfied, but I think just given the quality of opponents, they feel like it's a pretty decent start.
Mm-hmm. So like you said, they've had a pretty good run-in with a pretty good team so far. So they're coming into this Red Bull match with a pretty good experience, you know, playing a high-level team. So let's talk about the
winter window for Minnesota United. The big signing is the return of Luis Amarilla. He still owes Minnesota about 20 or so more goals. So let's talk about what are the projections for Amarilla this season, and what are your expectations for him?
Yeah, you know, he was pretty audacious when he was here in 2020 to say he'd score 25 goals in a 34-game season. And he was off to a great start. You know, he scored 2 goals in the first 2 games that year, and then obviously COVID disrupted the entire calendar. So, and then he also dealt with some injuries. He had a wrist injury, he had a heel injury, and it just never worked out for him. But you could see the ability to finish. You could see him getting in dangerous places. You could see the ability to kind of connect and find ways to get in front of goal and to be goal dangerous. And, you know, they weren't able to bring him back at the end of last year or 2 years ago. He was here on a loan. So then he went back to Ecuador, now with his parent company, Vélez in Argentina, but back to another club in Ecuador. They got him from a club in Ecuador, if people can follow this gobbledygook. But they were able to get him here on a full transfer. He's their third designated player. He's a guy that they have a lot of faith in, and a guy who has, you know, had some dangerous chances in the first 2 games. There was a chance in each game that you know, he maybe should have finished a little bit better on, but he's shown potential to be in and around the penalty box and be dangerous. As far as, you know, expectations for the year, I think 25 is a little outlandish, maybe too audacious to expect something like that I think only a couple people in league history have ever done. But I think, you know, maybe around the dozen mark, dozen to 15, I think would maybe be the high end, you know, 7 to 10, maybe in that next year. And anything less than that, I think would probably be a disappointment. So double-digit goals, I guess, would be kind of where they hope he'd be this time come the fall towards the end of the season.
Mm-hmm. So let's talk about the key piece, the real true Minnesota star, Emmanuel Reynoso. So talk about how the season has gone so far and how he has you know, been using him so far.
Yeah, you know, he's the number 10. He's really the fulcrum of Minnesota United's attack. You know, a lot of what they've done in the first 2 games has really come centrally, and that's through their number 10 in Reynoso, who was an MLS All-Star last year. Double-digit assists after coming over from Boca Juniors in 2020. In that season, he set the MLS record with 7 assists in 3 playoff games and really kind of took the league by storm and was tremendous that year and did the same thing last year. And you could see how much people respect him just by how often he was fouled. You know, I think he was top 5 in the league in fouls suffered. He was one of the league leaders in key passes, you know, passes that lead to goal-scoring opportunities. He was right up there with Carlos Hill of New England. So in the level of respect was seen just this last week. You know, Dax McCarty, for a lot of that game on Saturday, kind of shadowed him and kind of was in his hip pocket, just knowing how key he is to Minnesota's attack.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, staying with the attack, Minnesota has really found consistent wingers in Frangipane and Robin Lud. Why don't you talk about them? I believe Lud scored the opening goal of the 22 season.
Yeah, Robin Lud scored the equalizer at Philadelphia to get a draw in the season opener, like you mentioned. He led the team in goals last year with 9. He's another guy that can probably be around double digits as well. Both of those wingers in Lud and Frangipane also have some time spent in midfield, like to connect centrally. So when I talk about the United attack, those guys are very much involved in kind of the interplay that the three midfielders and Adrian Heath's 4-2-3-1 like to play. They don't have a lot of width. They also don't, you know, bring a ton of pace, but they can get in dangerous spots. So it's Frangipane had an injury scare last week versus Nashville. He came out at halftime and kind of suffered a hamstring knock, and it was kind of suspect if he was going to be able to play here this week. But I was at training today, and he was out there, and it looks like all systems go for kind of those 4 attackers that we've just described.
Yeah, for sure. So, you know, Minnesota have had some pretty good fullbacks recently. So, you know, with Jace Gaspar and Roman Mentaner. What's the latest update with them? I haven't seen Mentaner in the lineup recently.
Yeah, Mentaner or Gaspar have yet to play in either of the first two games. Gaspar suffered a concussion in the final preseason game. Mentaner had a muscle setback in week of training going into the season opener. Neither of those guys have played, and they've had to kind of reconfigure the back line. They've got O'Neill Fisher, who they brought in as a depth piece. He's had to play both games. He's been primarily on the right side, but he played on the left side in the second half just this last week against Nashville. Bekai Debassi has also played fullback for them. He's usually their left-sided center back, but he played fullback the first game and a half. DJ Taylor played left back the second half of Saturday's game. So Brent Coleman and Michael Boxall were the center backs for most of those two games. It's one of those things where it's been a lot of moving pieces. And Debassi's hurt now here this week. Fisher's hurt this week. Looks like Gaspar is going to be able to come back. So it's going to be a lot of moving pieces. And, you know, they've only given up a goal in each game. So given the fact that it's been a revolving door, they've been able to still stay pretty stout and not give up too much. You know, they give up an early goal at Nashville. They give up a ton of corners to Philadelphia. So they've been tested, kind of a bend not break type of unit at the moment. But looks like there's going to be changes here for a third straight week going into Red Bulls.
Okay, so let's talk about those first two games again. So what are some differences you've seen in the 22 Minnesota team compared to the 21 team? And what players seem to be revelations so far?
Yeah, I mean, it's a lot like we've talked about. You know, a lot of the same players are back. You know, they've made a few changes. You know, probably most notably, Ozzie Alonso is gone. He's now in Atlanta. Jan Gregouche, who really didn't play a whole lot towards the end of the year last year, one of their DPs. He's now in San Jose. Ethan Finley is now in Austin. He was a depth winger for Minnesota once Fragapane came on board midway through last year. So I think it's 11 of the top 14 guys are back from last year. You know, I think Amaria is probably the main guy that has kind of asserted himself into the starting 11. And then in central midfield, with Asani Dotson stepping in for Gregouche slash Alonso. Other than that, it's a lot of the status quo for Minnesota United. I wouldn't say there have been, you know, any real revelations. I think what has been interesting is seeing one of their DPs in Adrian Unu, who they brought in for a $3 million transfer fee and a $2 million salary from Rennes in Ligue 1 in France. He has been a sub in the first game and was a bench player in the second game. That's a lot of money to be putting on the bench.
Yeah.
And he hasn't done a whole lot this year. He had one good chance against Andre Blake in Philadelphia. But that's maybe, it's not really a revelation. It's kind of the reverse of a revelation. We just haven't seen very much of him. And Minnesota needs to score goals. That's what they struggled with last year. And they have two and two games, and it's been enough against quality teams. But they're going to need to put more on the board here as the next 32 games are played.
So let's talk about the keeper situation in Minnesota right now. So, Andy, let's say Adrian Heath got your number somehow, and he called you 3 a.m. in the morning. You know, he can't sleep. He wants to know, who should be my keeper going forward because we need to trade one? Do I go with Dwayne or do I go with Tyler? What do you tell Adrian at 3 a.m.?
Yeah, that's a good, interesting question. You know, he has my number. I haven't talked to him at that time of night. You know, that'd be pretty. I'd imagine if that call came in, you know, it'd probably be deadline day the next day to get that call at that hour. Yeah, I mean that's the biggest bit of roster intrigue that this team has at the moment. You know, they've got Tyler Miller, who's been their number one for the last year plus. And when he went down in 2020 with surgery to both hips, Dane St. Clair came in and was the goalkeeper in their long playoff run when they had, home playoff game that year. It was really good that year. So they know that they've got two quality goalkeepers. But in a salary budget league like MLS, and you can't really have both of those guys on the books. You know, I think it's probably going to be close to $1 million in those two goalkeepers tied up as far as budget goes. So to answer your question, you know, Tyler Miller's a little bit older. He's about 28. He's on an expiring contract. They signed Dane St. Clair to a new contract midway through last year. I would say, just given the ages of the two, given that you know that Dane can play in this league, and just what the profile is going forward longevity-wise, I would probably say that Dane would probably be the goalkeeper. But if that's how you feel about him, then you should play him. And they've been playing Tyler Miller. Adrian Heath is a big proponent of the team kind of picks itself. You know, if you're out there playing well, then you're going to keep your spot. You know, players drop themselves. And that's how he describes it. And it's been Tyler Miller's job to lose. And he's done a good job here for a second straight season. So it's a complex situation. You know, there have been reports that people have come for Dane St. Clair within the league. I think New England Revolution is probably at the top of the list with what's happened with Matt Turner going to Arsenal here this summer. And it sounds like Minnesota has a very steep price that they are asking for Dane St. Clair. And I think that's indicative of how they view the 24-year-old Canadian and the future with this club. So that's the number one bit of intrigue. I would probably lean Dane, but I think it shows that they're very high on Tyler as well, because he played, you know, 30 of the 34 games in the regular season last year and has started the first two games here this year. So, you know, they're high on him as well. So I know I didn't answer that very cleanly. Adrian, we'd be talking for till probably 4 a.m. about something like that, I'd imagine, if he were to contact me.
So let's say Adrian said he wanted to be an old British swords fight. So Tyler gets a sword, Dwayne gets a sword. Who do you think comes out on top?
Oh, man. I mean, they both have the reach, right? I mean, as rangy goalkeepers, I don't think either of them would have an advantage when it comes to reach. You know, athleticism-wise, you know, Dane has a very good record in PKs. I think he might have a little bit more twitch in him than maybe Tyler does. I'm doing my best to answer this with a straight face. I don't know how I can, you know, it's just such a bizarre question. I think it'd be fun to see, maybe get some fencing gear on so nobody gets hurt. But Tyler maybe has a little bit more veteran savvy in him, just being older.
Yep.
It'd be fun to see.
Yeah. Put on TV. So let's talk about the Red Bull game. How are Minnesota approaching this Red Bull game? What injury concerns do they have?
Yeah, you know, they're approaching it with the sense of, hey, is there a way to come in and get a point at a minimum, just given the form that they've had, you know, here to start this year? I think that's been impressive to see what they've done in their first two games. Now, the quality of competition, you know, might not be what Minnesota has faced in their first two games. So I think that's interesting to see, kind of, is Red Bull as good as their first two games, or playing San Jose and playing Toronto indicative of, you know, maybe two teams that are at the bottom of their respective conferences and they just capitalized on them. I think it'll be interesting to see how New York lines up, right? I think they've gone to a 4-2-2-2, and there could be an opportunity for Minnesota in what Adrian Heath likes to do on the road is go 4-3-3. And are they going to put an extra man in midfield? Kervin Arriaga, who played for Will Trapp in the first game, did very, very well. And then they kind of switched places with Trapp coming off injury and Kervin going on injury in that second game. So I'd imagine there's a possibility that Adrian goes to a 4-3-3 to try to show that, you know, maybe we can have another body in midfield to kind of control the pace and be a little bit more stout defensively and maybe spring on the counterattack. I think that's maybe one possibility that I could see Adrian going in, just knowing how he likes to set up on the road and the respect that he has for New York.
Yeah, I guess that would be a pretty good idea, you know, If you look at the possession stats, you know, Red Bull don't really possess the ball too much. And once they get the ball, they're just trying to be direct on one or two passes and go vertical. So, you know, putting a bunker in Red Bull Arena for that home opener could be a pretty good strategy. Andy, give me one prediction about this game that you are 100% sure will happen.
Oh, man. I don't know if I'm 100% sure of anything. I'd like to see multiple goals. You know, I think, you know, there's been two games here where there's been one goal for each side. You know, I'd like to see multiple goals. I'd like to see it open. I'd like to see Caden Clark play. He's a native Minnesotan who Minnesota couldn't sign to its academy a couple of years ago. I'd like to see him play. I know he's come on as a reserve and had an assist in that San Jose game. I'd like to see that. I'd like to see a 3-2 game, a 2-1 game, something where there's a little bit more drama than an opening goal and an equalizer, just given how the first 2 weeks have played.
So it's definitely going to be an interesting game. Definitely easily the best team Red Bull has played this season. But Andy, thank you for coming on. Where can we find you online?
Yeah, thanks for having me on. I appreciate it. It's at TwinCities.com and on Twitter at Andy Greeter.
Well, back to the show.
All right. More than just a passing fancy, Roberto also proved deadly on free kicks with 3 goals on set pieces.
Hardy standing there, but it will be Donadoni to the far post. Goal!
JJ, it's time.
Is it?
Time to play a game. The game is called What State Am I In? College Edition. So Mr. JJ is a college enthusiast. He knows every college and the city, the population, the tuition. So this game is called Am I a College in Wisconsin or Michigan? Are you ready?
I'm ready.
First college is Marquette University.
That is Wisconsin.
Oh, okay. Next university is Concordia University.
I want to say Michigan.
It's going to be Wisconsin.
Ah.
Oh, my bad. It's Wisconsin and Minnesota, where we are right now.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Next one is, I'm not sure if you get this one, University of Minnesota.
See, Minnesota is not a real state. That's my struggle here, because I want to say Minnesota, but everyone knows Minnesota is just a figment of our imagination that we made up to justify having Minnesota United as an expansion team. So, like, it might be Wisconsin, too, but I'll bite and say Minnesota.
Okay. It is correct. Next one, St. John's University. Private.
Isn't that in New York City?
Nope, there's one in one of these two states.
All right, I'm going to go. See, I feel like we've had Wisconsin quite a bit already. So for geographic diversity, I'll say Michigan.
It's in Minnesota.
Oh.
All right, next one. Lake Superior College.
See, Lake Superior is, if I'm correct, in all three of the, it touches all three of these states. So, I feel like, you know, it could be any of them. But, the thing is, I feel like we've said Wisconsin already, and we've said Minnesota already, so we're bound to have Michigan at some point. So I'm going to say Michigan again, just because Michigan can't let me down 3 times in a row, right?
It's in Wisconsin.
You know what? This is why I don't trust Michigan as a state. You know, the university, Jim Harbaugh, none of it. I can't trust it.
And finally, a hard one, Fox Valley Technical College, Wisconsin or Minnesota?
Fox Valley Technical, see, that sounds like a cool college. You know what? Just because Michigan has lost my trust, I'll say Wisconsin. Just because that sounds like a town in Wisconsin.
JJ, tell me about your first game at Red Bull Arena.
My first game at Red Bull Arena was, I think I was 11, and we went to a Sounders Red Bulls game. I don't remember what the score was, but I remember we parked like a half mile from the stadium, and we spent way too much time trying to find the stadium because it was my dad, who had never been to a Red Bulls game before, my friend, and my friend's dad, and me, and none of us knew where Red Bull Arena was. Like, we could see it, but we didn't know where the entrance actually was, so we didn't get into like 20 minutes before after kickoff. But we did make it in eventually. I believe the Red Bulls won in the end, so that was good. It was a good time, and it was against the Sounders, but that's about all I remember.
I remember my first game. It was back in Giant Stadium. It was really cold. This is back, not after Red Bull started, but definitely in the transition phase, the first few years. And it was a very good experience. I went there with our Brit Bird, and Brit told me, taking you to this game is one of the most life-changing experiences of my life. It's something I will definitely build upon from this day forward. So it's definitely a great experience. But the New York Red Bulls are returning to Red Bull Arena this Saturday against Minnesota United, and we may see the debut of the red kit. JJ, what do you think about the new red kit?
I love the red kit. I've been waiting for it to come back for a while now because it feels right. You know, we're the Red Bulls. We should wear red. Nothing against the other kits. The other kits are all very nice. Good work design team. But, you know, there's something about that red kit that, you know, makes me, like, you know, remember the, you know, the, for example, you know, the 2018 season. You know, that was like a red kit year. You know, I feel like whenever we have a red kit, good things happen. And, you know, Red Bull 2 has had some cool red kits over the years. So I think I was kind of waiting for the main team to, you know, stop, you know, messing around. You know, the checkerboards were cool. You know, the black with the red stripes was cool. But I think it's time we went back to our roots, going with the plain red. And this kit is really nice looking. You know, I like the faded patterns. You know, it's a cool kit. I feel like I can wear this, like, you know, just walking around. I feel like some of the black and red one, it was cool, but like I couldn't wear it on the street. I feel like I can wear the current Red Bulls kit out on the street and, you know, not look like an idiot.
You know what? Have you seen the new Red Bull 2 kit?
I have. The Fox camo one, yeah.
Why are they so good at that?
I don't know. I don't know who they have running the kit design team at Red Bull 2, but whoever it is, if you are a listener of the Energy Drink Soccer Show, keep up the good work. You're doing a good job.
Mm-hmm. You are. They need to make kits for us. But nonetheless, Red Bull New York.
There should be Red Bull media kits.
There should be. And I plan on getting them. So Red Bull New York have their home opener this weekend. So let's talk about some lineup stuff. So, you know, it's been floated around that maybe Luquinha and Ashley Fletcher might even make an appearance on the bench this game. So, JJ, what are your thoughts about the Luquinha signing and Ashley Fletcher?
I'll start with Luquinha. I think Luquinhas is a very interesting one because I think this team kind of still needs that, you know, that extra kick just because, you know, between Caden Clark kind of being so, you know, in Struber, you know, very clearly didn't think he, over the full course of last season, had that kind of creative juice to run the team for the entire year. And this year it seems he's back in, you know, the good graces of coach. But I think this team needed that, you know, extra creative, you know, vision, that extra creative force. And I think, you know, Luquinhas is the type of player that can be that supplement, be that player that makes sure our entire creative ideas aren't just on one 18-year-old. So I think that's a big boost to this team. I think, it's a player that fills a need because I think between Caden and Omir Fernandez, you had a couple players that, you know, kind of had really good streaks, you know, as like those wide, you know, wide number 10s, those like inverted wingers. I don't know if you can call them either one. I think either terminology works. And Luquinha's a player that just brings a little bit more experience. You know, he's not a homegrown that only has a few seasons. He's a professional. He's a player that's played all over. You know, he's got that, you know, kind of, you know, that testament to, you know, having time spent in Europe. Not because I think Europe is some end-all, be-all performance, but I think it just gives you if you have another perspective on what leagues are like, if you have another idea of, you know, what it's like playing outside the MLS, I think that enhances your MLS abilities because, you know, it shows that, you know, it shows you can play not just at an MLS level, you know, physically, I mean, not just at an MLS level talent-wise, but also physically. Mm-hmm. Also, you know, the emotional task of, you know, just being in another league, another country. I think the fact that he has experience out in Poland, you know, obviously far from his native Brazil, I think is a testament to, you know, what he's going to bring as an experienced hand to this Red Bull team. And I think Ashley Fletcher, in that same token, you know, is another experienced player who I think, you know, kind of play that veteran role, that guy who's been around, he's been a lot of places, he's learned under a lot of, you know, really good managers, you know, really famous English managers. I think he's going to bring that, you know, that experience, even if he's not, you know, some sort of elite goal scorer. He might be, but, you know, even if he's not that, even if he's a guy that, you know, I think he had one season at Middlesbrough where he scored 19 goals. Other than that, he's never scored more than 5 goals this season, if I'm not mistaken. But even if he's not, you know, a 15-goal season player, I think the fact that, you know, he's been to, you know, the West Hams, the Middlesbroughs, the Sunderlands, the Watfords of the world, you know, it just shows that he's been to a lot of clubs. He knows a lot about what makes a winning and losing team. I think that's going to be, you know, a big factor in the locker room dynamics, you know, just making sure that everyone, you know, stays in line, everyone knows what's up, everyone knows the score. I think that's where, you know, a player like Fletcher is going to be really helpful. And that's not even speaking about, you know, what he's going to do on the pitch, because I am quite interested to see, you know, what Struber makes him as a striker. Is he going to be the second striker to Klamala? You know, are they going to have Klamala play a different role now? Are they going to move him closer back to a 10 and Fletcher more as a traditional striker? I'm not really sure what they'll do with that pairing, but I think it's going to be interesting to see both what he does on the pitch and how Struber lines him up compared to Klamala, and also off the pitch as to, you know, is he able to, you know, help that locker room dynamic as someone who's been all around in England?
Yeah, definitely. Playing in all these different leagues for Ashley and Lukinius are definitely going to help the transition to MLS. But looking forward to the Minnesota game. JJ, are you making any changes to the lineup?
I don't think I see a need to, unless any injuries came up that occurred over the over the week. I don't think there's any need to. I mean, if you think Fletcher's ready to go, I'd probably put him in for Barlow just to kind of see what he can do. You know, because I think, you know, nothing against Barlow, and like I said, I think he played great against Toronto. I think the fact that, you know, if you have him, you know, you should get your newer guys in the lineup as fast as possible, get them acclimated, get them ready to go. So I think if you have him available, you should give him the start. You know, the other thing I maybe do is, you know, I consider, you know, I don't know if when Tom Edwards is going to be back, but I'd consider if he's available, because I saw his name floated once or twice, because I think he's stateside these days. If he's back and fit, I'd probably plug him in for Dylan Nealis, just because, you know, I don't think Dylan Nealis was bad, but I think that, you know, that's the least solidified position in the back line, and I think it's only fair to give Tom Edwards, you know, kind of a go at it, because he is naturally a fullback, and I think, you know, over the season we saw him so much at center back, we kind of forgot that. So I think it's probably, you know, only fair to him that you give him a trial run at that, you know, that right back spot, because Dylan Nealis he was fine, but I don't think he's exactly nailed that spot down. I don't think he's exactly written his name on the team sheet in Sharpie. So I think if Tom Edwards is fit, you know, you give him a run out at right back, see if he can, you know, do any better than Nealis, and, you know, get him some game minutes too, just because, you know, he's going to be coming back from an offseason in another country. You know, you want to get him, you know, acclimated to the, you know, the, you know, I don't know what the weather's like in England these days, but I'm presuming it's not going to be, you know, 25, bad. I'm assuming it's not going to be 25, which I believe is kickoff for Sunday. So I think that getting Edwards in if need be, and getting Fletcher in if need be, is both about just getting them fit, as well as just seeing how they fit the system, you know, trying some stuff out while it's still early in the season, while you still have time to make adjustments heading into the kind of, you know, the summer stretch.
Yeah, definitely. I definitely want to integrate them. I would just probably stick with this lineup. I think Barlow's a guy who, when he first signed, I was high on. Then, you know, definitely with the masterclass of coaching he had with Christopher, definitely, I guess, didn't show any likeness or any ability to look like an MLS player. But Struber's definitely a favorite of him, and it says a lot. I like to say when a player is a favorite of different coaches, it's definitely a talented player that works hard and does a lot of stuff that most fans won't notice, but coaches will. Look at Mason Mount. But he's a guy that definitely does a lot of stuff that helps other players like Klamala and Morgan getting positioned. You know, Barlow uses his athleticism to take a center back away, and that just opens up so much space for Klamala to work and just be not only a shot taker, but a shot producer. So it's just definitely going to be a beautiful lineup once everything clicks. And the fact that they're already looking so good so early is a good sign. But JJ, tell me what you know about Minnesota United.
I know they have a bird on their logo, so that's pretty cool. I'll give that to them. You know, the loon looks good in terms of badge aesthetics, which I think are an underrated aspect of a team. So, you know, we'll start off there. They got a bird. They have a star on their logo, which I'm not sure I love, because I kind of associate, you know, having a star on your crest with winning the cup, and I know that's not what it's there for, but I can't shake the feeling of, like, that's what it should be there for, and that's kind of annoying to me. I know they have a cool stadium, that the U.S. men's national team nearly froze to death just a couple months ago in, Hopefully the U.S. Men's National Team and the U.S. Soccer Federation do not have any other terrible ideas that will make them go back there in the near future. Nothing against the great city of St. Paul, but it's not good to play in the cold. I think anyone who has a brain can probably agree that you don't want to play your soccer games in -5-degree weather. So that's my everlasting image of Minnesota United FC. Cool logo, bad weather.
Definitely. You don't want to play in our weather, but you do want to record podcasts in this weather. But JJ, what's your score prediction?
I'll go 3-1 to the Red Bulls. I think Minnesota gives them a tougher test than the than both the Earthquakes and that the and that Toronto FC gave them. I think that, you know, they provide a little more, you know, a little more challenge going forward. And I think they tighten up the back line a little more. But I, at the end of the day, I think the Red Bulls, you know, have that juice to get two. I think the home crowd is going to be, you know, something that really motivates this team. So I think they get two. It's 2-1, and then I think they seal it late with another Tom Barlow goal in the in extra time.
I'm going to predict a 2-0. I feel it's going to be a lot more cagey of a match. I think Minnesota will definitely get the chances more of there. They're definitely going to be the best team we played this season, obviously being a playoff team. They're set up by Heath, and he has a lot of MLS experience. And yeah, I think it'll be 2-0. And I think we'll get a goal definitely from Klamala and a late appearance from Luquinhas. He just texted me this morning that he's going to play. He just landed. But JJ, thank you for coming on. Where can we find you online?
Thank you for having me as always. If you want to find me online, it's JJ Post on Twitter, JAYJAYPOST. And also, I am probably in any Red Bull group chat you've heard of, yelling about how Tom Barlow needs to be respected more.
They need to respect me more. Thank you guys for listening. This is Drink Soccer Show!
You need to stay up out the streets if you can't take the heat. You need to stay up out the streets if you can't take the heat. Cause it get cold like Minnesota. Cold like Minnesota. Cold like Minnesota. Cold like Minnesota. You need to stay up out the streets if you can't take the heat. You need to stay up out the streets if you can't take the heat. Cause it get cold like Minnesota. Cold like Minnesota. Cold like Minnesota, it get cold like Minnesota. Need to stay up out the streets if you can't take the heat. You need to stay up out the streets if you can't take the heat. Cause it get cold like Minnesota. Riding around on boaters, money sitting up, it sit way above your shoulders. I was eating pork and rinds with a bitch from New York Times. I don't eat no pork and rinds, but that bitch was mighty fine. I got gold all on my necklace, tatted up my arms, now my mama think I'm reckless. Got guns under my mattress, I was jugging since the youngin'. Free my older cousin Reese, he from Hamilton, not DC. I rock MBs like I'm Gucci. Flip phone banging off the wall, Gucci on my drawers. Why the fuck you in these streets if you scared of them four walls? I was stroking on your sister, she was calling me the mister. She said, dick for a picture, it's the Yachty, nice to meet you. I was jugging out them stacks, carrying up the racks. Almost had a lifetime sentence, but I beat it. Shout out to Pat. Pat, that's my lawyer, he got me off them charges. 8 stacks for that boy, he took care of the boy. Cold like Minnesota. Cold like Minnesota. Cold like Minnesota. Cold like Minnesota. Need to stay up out the streets if you can't take the heat. You need to stay up out the streets if you can't take the heat. Cause it get cold like Minnesota. Cold like Minnesota. Cold like Minnesota. It get cold like Minnesota. Need to stay up out the streets if you can't take the heat. You need to stay up out the streets if you can't take the heat.
You need to stay up out the streets if you can't take the heat. When they say Lil Yachty, I'm like, that's him or me.
Lil Yachty, huh?
Rich like Minnesota.
Minnesota.
Traffic Coca-Cola.
Coca.
Catching plays at Quan Bowling. She got the hot box, know that it's stolen.
Hot. Hey.
Large sizes. Hey. All type of narcotics. Whoa. Got a bank roll in that big. I love my Motorola. I love my Motorola. I love my Motorola. I love my Motorola. Fuck 12, they can't pull me over.
12.
Smoking no gas in it older.
Gas.
Cook it up, then flip it over. You must have forgot it, we bought it like soldiers.
Soldiers.
It's cold, but I got my shirt off.
Yeah.
Trap niggas can't fall off.
Trap.
Big sack of Molly golf ball.
Yelly.
Big sack of Molly golf ball.
Double.
I drop in Minnesota like a vibe. Flood out the sky dweller, it got good light.
Shot.
We made the dub and all of y'all bite.
Damn.
Two thick white bitches, both of them dice. I'll make a 50 before his April. I was in the streets, but though I had no gauge. Me and Lil Yachty test down at the safe house. Skip with the flipper, I will bring the rice out.
Cold like Minnesota. Cold like Minnesota. Cold like Minnesota. Cold like Minnesota. Need to stay up out the streets if you can't take the heat. You need to stay up out the streets if you can't take the heat.
Cause it get cold like Minnesota. Cold like Minnesota. Cold like Minnesota, it get cold like Minnesota.
Need to stay up out the streets if you can't take the heat. You need to stay up out the streets if you can't take the heat.
Oh, yeah.